I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel, that God has shown them according to God's mercy, according to the abundance of God's steadfast love. For God said, surely they are my people, my children, who will not deal falsely. And God became their savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but it was God's presence that saved them. In God's love and in God's pity, God redeemed them. God lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. And a passage from the birth of Jesus from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Out of Egypt, I have called my son. My friends, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. A few years ago, my family and I joined the Princeton Fitness and Wellness Center here in Montgomery. I took the fitness evaluation that comes free with the membership. A fitness instructor interviewed me and asked me about my fitness hopes and dreams. He had me do some movements to test my strength and my balance. He weighed me and took some other measurements. And then after compiling all of that data, he let me know what he saw as the potential goals and exercises that I could do while being a member at the fitness center. Some of the results of that fitness evaluation were not at all surprising to me. At that time, I knew that I had a few extra pounds that I wanted to work on getting rid of. I knew that I wanted to put on some muscle on my arms and chest and back. What I didn't expect was for the fitness instructor to tell me that my legs were in really good shape. I had no idea that my legs were doing so well. After some reflection, I realized that without really knowing it, I had been doing great leg workouts every day since the fall of 2016, when my first daughter, Margo, was born. From then on, I had been carrying Margo, and then 2 years later, Margo and her sister, Charlotte, I had been carrying them every day. And man, oh man, do they love to be carried, right? I think if they had things their way, my daughters would never use their own legs, but they would just be carried everywhere they had to go. I love the local parks and the trails that are here in Montgomery, nearby in Princeton and Hopewell, and I do my best to share those trails with my daughters. Jamie and I take the girls on walks and hikes at Skillman Park and other local trails, and inevitably on those hikes, one or both of the girls will let us know that they are too tired to go any further, and they will beg to be picked up and carried. In our scripture passage for this morning, I picked two passages about children being carried by their parents. They create a wonderful paradox, which is worthy of a good pondering. Just like Mary treasuring up and pondering all of those signs and wonders after Christ was born, so we have some pondering to do this Christmas morning as well. I have been pondering, and I have found that God has a message for us about how we carry our faith. In our first passage for this morning, God is pictured as the parent, and we, God's people, are imagined as God's children. The prophet Isaiah in that passage sings praises to God for God's deeds of salvation, which are remembered in terms of God picking up and carrying God's people. The prophet has two moments, two experiences of salvation in mind. Isaiah is thinking about the experience of the Exodus, where God rescued God's people from Pharaoh and the Egyptians. In that time, God carried God's people. God picked them up out of their time of trouble. God carried them through the wilderness. And God set them down in the promised land. God saw the people in their time of need, and rather than letting them be alone in their sorrows and troubles, God swooped in like a loving parent and carried God's child Israel into a place of safety and security. The journey was long and difficult, but God was there with God's people to carry them through to peace and safety. Isaiah has the Exodus in mind as he sings God's praises in this passage, but he also has a second Exodus experience in mind as well. For centuries after that first Exodus, God's people were made exiles in the land of Babylon, and God again remembered God's people, and God picked them up and carried them out of exile. God remembered God's people and carried them back across the wilderness to bring them again to the promised land. Isaiah sings praises to God, who, like a strong and loving parent, takes their child and carries them, helping them on the long and difficult journey. Our second passage comes from the birth story of Jesus as it's found in the Gospel of Matthew. In this passage, in mystery and wonder, the roles of parent and child are reversed. After Jesus was born, as he was still a small and vulnerable child, his life was put at risk. The current king, King Herod, had gotten word that the stars of the heavens were declaring that a new king had been born within his kingdom, Herod's kingdom. This news threatened King Herod, and he began to look for this potential new rival to his throne. God warns Joseph in a dream of the impending danger. God directs Joseph to pick up his and Mary's infant son, to pick them up, to pick up God's son, now in flesh appearing, and to carry him into safety far away out of the reach of King Herod. Mary and Joseph themselves, children of Israel, they now pick up Emmanuel, God with us, and they carry God into safety. They flee into Egypt. Isn't that amazing? The God of Israel, who carried Israel into safety, the God of Israel, who carried his people into their salvation, this God is now in the arms of his people. And it is God who is bundled up and whisked away into safety. God carries us and is worthy of our praise. Jesus will grow up and carry our sins to the cross. He will bring us our salvation. He will remove the burden of sin from our shoulders. And he is worthy of our praise. But somehow, God is also willing and able to somehow be carried by us. This is a deep and a wonderful mystery that is worth our pondering and our contemplation. My friends, how are we called, like Mary and Joseph, to carry and protect the Christ child? Do we have a calling or an ability to somehow carry our God? I have been pondering these questions for a month now, since Thanksgiving time, when I chose these passages for this Christmas morning service. What I am beginning to sense and understand from God is that the thing that God needs us to pick up and to carry away from danger from time to time is the precious and vulnerable gift that is our faith. Scripture reveals that Jesus was born a helpless baby. He was born vulnerable. He needed his parents to help him, to care for him, to protect him as he grew and as he developed. Mary and Joseph took this responsibility seriously. The Gospel of Luke has a story where Jesus goes missing as a child in Jerusalem, and we can see in that story that his parents were beside themselves with worry and fear for the care of their son. Mary and Joseph cared for and protected their son. When Herod threatened baby Jesus, they made a difficult journey into Egypt to give Jesus safety. We have an equivalent experience when it comes to the new life which God gives to us through faith. Jesus talks about our place in the kingdom of God using many different parables and metaphors. Jesus tells us that we are invited guests at God's banquet table. Jesus tells us that we are like sheep who, when we go astray, are found and rescued and carried back into God's sheepfold. Jesus tells us that we are like idle servants and workers who have nothing productive to do, but then are found by the master, hired, and put to work in his vineyards. We are like fishermen called away from fishing nets and employed to be fishers of men. We are like bridesmaids waiting for the wedding celebration to begin. In addition to all of these other metaphors, Jesus also talks about our entrance into the kingdom of God in terms of our rebirth. Jesus explains that through faith, through the work of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts, we are born again. Our old ways, our old selves are put away, and by grace we receive new life from Christ. We are called to be watchful and caring parents for this new life which God has given us through Jesus Christ. As I have been pondering our calling to carry the Christ child, God has been impressing upon my heart how our new life from Christ, our faith, in some ways is very much like the baby Jesus, born in Bethlehem, placed in a manger, born vulnerable and in need of Mary and Joseph's care and protection. Our faith, this new life which God has given us, is like an infant child. It is miraculous and new. It is given by God, but it is also something which we need to carry and care for and nurture and protect. Our faith is often like an infant child. It is a blessing. It is a source of great joy, but like a child, it is also a lot of work to keep our faith healthy and vibrant and safe. Like a father on a hike carrying his daughters, sometimes carrying our faith requires some strenuous effort. It is an interesting aspect of faith. Sometimes faith makes us bold and calls us to go out to stand up to power. Sometimes our faith calls us to be vocal and active agents of truth and goodness in our world. Sometimes our faith calls us to go out on mission trips or to help carry and serve others. Our faith calls us to be generous with our time and our financial resources. Our faith calls us to be active and engaged. And sometimes the faith that we have been given, sometimes to care for our faith, to serve our faith, our God-given calling is to carry our faith into retreat. Sometimes God lets us know that we need to pull back, to find a quiet and a safe place which is shielded from public life and shielded from the busy activities of this world. Our faith, the new life that God has given to us, sometimes we need to carry that faith like an infant child. We need to nurture it, to rock it gently. We need to get away for a while so that our faith can grow in quietness and safety. In practical terms, I am thinking about really common ideas here. Our faith, our trust and reliance on God, our belief in God's love and God, and that God cares for us, our relationship to God, our insight which God gives us to help direct our lives, the provisions which God gives us through faith, through God's love. Our faith can be fragile and vulnerable like a child. And at times, in order to grow and survive, our faith needs to be shielded from the hustle and bustle of daily life. We need to take our faith and retreat into intentional moments and experiences of stillness and silence. To do so, we need to cultivate practices of prayer, Bible study, devotion, and meditation. God has convicted me of this past month as I've been pondering these stories of God carrying us and of us carrying God. God has convicted me of this, that we need to be better about picking up our faith and carrying it into these places of safety and stillness and care. Our faith needs protection so that it can grow and thrive. Just as baby Jesus needed to be carried into Egypt to avoid the dangers of King Herod, so are we called to imitate the care of Joseph and Mary when it comes to our own faith. It is my hope for this coming year that I can do well as a leader in these ways. I hope that we can develop some spiritual practices together where we are able to take the new life that God has given us, the faith that God has given us, the promises that God has given us, and be better about picking them up and carefully bringing them to those places of quietness and stillness that they need to thrive and to grow. My children love to be carried. And I think children in general love that experience of their parents carrying them. A friend was telling Jamie and I about how she gives her three kids each individually special time. It's time where her kids have one-on-one time with her. And this mom lets her children, when they have that one-on-one special time, pick whatever activity they want to do for that special hour of the day. Our friend said that her kids often pick the same activity every time. They want a piggyback ride, and they want their mom to carry them all around the house, pretending to be a horse, galloping all around. If you're looking for a good leg workout, I can recommend this practice. Grab a 35-pound preschooler and spend an hour galloping around your house. Our friend gives each of her kids special time, and I'm sure, I'm convicted that it's really good for their child's relationship, the parent-child relationship. We can think about our faith as a child, an infant child, a miraculous gift from God, a miraculous new form of life which God has put into our hearts and into our lives. Our calling is to give that infant child, which is our faith and God's promises to us, to give it some special time. Our calling is to give that new life, our faith, the special time it needs to grow and to develop and to thrive. Our calling is to pick up and to carry our faith, to protect our faith when it needs protection, so that it can flourish and it can grow. With God's help, we can do this. Amen.